abundant gifts. Good morning, Father, Son. Thank you for feeding all living things on earth. Thank you, plant kingdom. Thank you, trees and plants, for converting the sun's light into edible foods that we can consume and digest, and for providing oxygen in the air that we breathe. Good morning, water. Thank you for being 75% of our body. We are one, and we bless you and protect you because we cannot live without you. Good morning, animal kingdom. Thank you for your companionship, your beauty and splendor, and for your sacrifice of life so that we may eat and live. Thank you, great spirit that moves in all things. Thank you for our lives and for the opportunity to be here and to be of service in this sacred earth garden of life. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hello and welcome to Shaman's Keep. This is Caroline Wise King, your host, and I hope you've had a great week. It's absolutely beautiful. It feels like spring is in the air, and we're ready for that, right? It's about time. So I'm looking out at the sunshine, and it's just a glorious day. Now, today I have a wonderful guest with us. Her name is Jyoti. And she is an internationally renowned spiritual advisor with a PhD in transpersonal psychology, including 2.5 years of postgraduate study at the C.G. Jung Institute in Zurich, Switzerland. She's a spiritual director of the Center for Sacred Studies, one of the founders of the Kayamari Retreat Center in Northern California, and she and her husband, Dr. Russell Park, he's also a licensed clinical psychologist, and they developed the Maitri breathwork program in 1980. Now, Jyoti is also the ambassador for the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. So, Jyoti, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you join us today.
Thank you for having me, Caroline.
Wonderful. I understand that the formation of the grandmothers was sparked by a vision that you had had in 2004. Would you mind sharing that vision with us?
Oh, I'd be glad to. It's a dream that's unfolding, and I would like to say that each and every one of your listeners out there and those that come to gather with us and the grandmothers all had this seed planted in them, I think, when we first came and put our skin on to walk in this on this beautiful earth once again. And now it's a time of it flourishing and starting to present itself. And so it all started, if you don't mind, I'm a bit of a storyteller.
Okay, great.
I just want to share how this story came about because it's certainly got more hands than just mine in it and certainly is driven by the Divine Mother. Many people came together years ago and asked my husband and I if we would start a spiritual community, and I didn't think I was old enough or gray enough to do such a thing. So I went to three of my main spiritual leaders and teachers and told them what was coming, and they said, no, it was time. So we started a community. We got a 160-acre ranch up in the Sierra foothills of California and started a spiritual community with only one mandate. That was that we were to get a place to caretake that would allow people to come from all directions and from all walks of life and ways of prayer. The mother told us it wasn't important how we pray. It was most important that we all come back to a sacred way of life with prayer in the center of it. And so that's what we did. That's how we started. We also wanted to be a community of people that were willing to get messy and waking up and to be authentic in ourselves and to walk with each other through a lifetime and to awaken ourselves to our full potential and authenticity. And so we got our place started and up our logger road, 14-mile logger road to our place because we sat right on the tip-top of a mountain surrounded by national forest on all four sides. Came people from all walks of life to study with us and pray with us and to play with us and to grow with us. And I guess that was in 1995, and our community became very international in scope in those first years, and so we ended up with community sites and people mm-hmm. involved with us on the East Coast and in Europe, and we have land outside of Prague, and we have a home in the Brazilian Amazon. So that's the footprint of our community, which we call Kayamari, and Kayamari comes from the Huichols. There's a blue deer that is a high teacher of the Huichol peoples, and they say that he guards the threshold to the other realms. And wherever he walks, medicines grow that heal communities. And in my world, the Divine Mother will send Kayamari to prepare land so that she can bring a prayer into fruition. And that is how we've been marching all these years. We started Kayamari in 1995. And in 1998, in ceremony, I had a visitation from the Divine Mother. She came to me and she said, I'm going to hand you one of my most sacred baskets. In this basket are jewels of prayer. Those jewels of prayer are lines that go back to the original times. Do not mix them. Do not change them. Protect and keep them safe. Walk them through the doorway of the millennia and hand them back to me. I have something we're going to do. Now, I didn't understand what she meant by that when we first got it, but what happened over the next almost decade would be elders would come up our 14-mile logger road, and they would start to initiate us and teach us about these jewels in the basket, how to care for them, and the teachings that they all represented and a way of life that they represented. And it was through that doorway that my youngest son married, and his wife started studying her master's degree in the field of addiction. She'd been called to really explore what could we do different in the field of addiction, because what we were doing wasn't really working. And she came across in her studies a plant called iboga. And it's a root that comes out of Africa, and it has remarkable potential to heal addiction.
Really?
So she was invited in to several different kinds of FDA studies and programs that were outside of the country that were studying one of the 12 alkaloids of that root, which was called ibogaine. And they were finding that people that took that would not have to go into serious withdrawal when they were trying to recover. And it would help them go back to the time that was the root of the problem that caused their addiction in the first place. And so she came to me after a lot of the study, and she said, you know, Mom, there's a lot of good things happening, but there's still something missing. And I said, well, in the world, the way I was trained, we should go sit with the elders in Africa, in Gabon, and we should ask them if it's all right for us to work with this plant. And if not, then you'd go home and go into meditation. There's another direction that will make itself visible. Mm-hmm. If they do agree, then they won't need to train us so that we will follow the teachings of this plant and a way of life that dictates not only healing of the addiction, but also then sets a ground for that addiction to that cure to be held and maintained and sustained. And so there's a lot more story here with how we got to Bernadette Ribeneau, the teacher that we went to sit with in Gabon, Africa, and my son and my daughter, and Anne Rosencrantz, who's the director of programs for the grandmothers, came along as a translator, and I went to witness my children get this initiation. In that process, I was invited into the initiation as well. And during the initiation, the Great Mother came to me and she asked me to share the vision of the basket with Bernadette. Now, Grandmother Bernadette is quite renowned throughout Africa, and particularly in Gabon, where she stood as the advisor to the president for 45 years. And has been quite a diplomat as well as a healer and a teacher. And her works also go into Europe, particularly into France and into the United States. During the ceremony, I went and I spoke to Bernadette, and I told her what I was seeing. And she, too, was starting to receive promptings that there needed to be a council of elder women called together. And many people throughout our community have been receiving messages over these years, for many, many years, saying the same kind of thing. And we would just hear in our ceremony sometimes this whisper that would say, when the grandmothers speak. It wouldn't say anything else. It would just say, when the grandmothers speak. Hmm. And so she said, it's time, Jyoti. You need to go and get this done. And so I was on my way to Brazil to meet with some of my relatives there. As I said, we have a home there, and I've been going there for almost over 20 years now.
Oh.
And learning from the healers there in the Amazon and from the jungle itself. And I have high regard for them. So I went and spoke to some of them about what I had just discovered in Africa and what Grandmother Bernadette was saying to me. And they felt it was also timely for this to unfold. And so I went back home and I sat and went into meditation trying to see how could I, this humble woman, a grandmother myself, I'm just turning 65 next in March, and I have 3 grandchildren and 2 beautiful sons.
Oh, you're blessed.
I have a lot of other people over the years that have adopted me as their grandma, so I'm really rich in my grandchildren. But they are the ones that have really prompted us and really keep pushing us forward because they have something they want to do. So I went into meditation. I thought, how in the world am I going to know which grandmas the universe is calling? Finally, in meditation, my grandmother came to me and she said, granddaughter, if you will start with the seed of it all, and the seed of it all is about relations. If you'll start there, everything else will unfold naturally. Don't worry. So I sat down and I wrote a letter describing all of which I've been telling you about to send out to my community and all these places where it's at, because we've been working with indigenous elders for many, many years and have been trained and taught by them and had come to a way of life that was helping us learn how to walk more gently in the world and be more conscious with the dialogue of nature. So I sent this letter out, and I asked them to go to all their elders and to speak to them about this mission that we were being handed and to see who they would suggest. In that process, I got 16 names of grandmothers that came back to me. And so I wrote them a letter describing exactly all the story and how it had unfolded and that we were going to be coming together in 2004 in October, putting together a gathering where they would come for the first time to meet and convene, along with Western leaders, women that had changed the fabric of our reality in the West, women such as Gloria Steinem and Alice Walker, people with that level of inspiration and leadership. And that was in 2002 that I wrote the letter. 13 answered me saying they would be coming. And I did not know then that there was a prophecy of the time when the 13 grandmothers would gather. I would only later come to know that. So we kept working, raising the money, organizing, trying to follow the promptings of spirit to put this gathering together. It was going to be held in Minla, the retreat center, which is the Medicine Buddha retreat center for the Dalai Lama. And we gathered there. We didn't come with any other agenda. We didn't have any idea that it was going to unfold the way that it did. But the grandmothers all came together. They came from the 4 directions. We had them representing North America, South America, Central America. Excuse me. We had them representing Africa and Nepal and Tibet. So we had them fulfilling a prophecy of this time when these women would gather from all the 4 directions. And when they got there, they recognized each other. And when we opened with the first part of that 7 days together where we lit a fire for world peace and unity of all people, the first 3 days were in private council where they could really get to meet each other and know each other and speak about what they were coming together to do. And it was at that time that we would also discover that Grandmother Rita, our grandmother that represents the Yupik people out of the cold country of Alaska, she told us a story of when she was 9 years old and her grandmother came and sat her down and told her that when she got to be old and gray like her, that, and she was a grandmother, that she would be invited to sit on the Council of 13 Grandmothers.
Oh.
And she had prepared 13 sacred bundles and had gathered 13 white eagle feathers, and she was to keep and protect these until that time came. And when the time came, she said, pass them out to each grandmother and take one for yourself and sit down at the table and know that I am standing behind you, and so are all your ancestors, and the time we've been preparing for is now. It was as we began to hear more and more of these kinds of stories, we began to realize that there are many, many stories throughout the First Nations globally that tell about a time and have a prophecy that share that there will come a time when the 13 grandmothers will come to shake the world awake. And that's what we found. Now, the grandmothers decided in this first meeting that they were going to become the International Council of 13 Indigenous Grandmothers. CSS, the Center for Sacred Studies, who had convened them, offered them our whole organization for them to use any way they wanted to. And they decided they wanted to stay under our, what they lovingly said, our blanket, so that we could walk along with them and give time for this prayer to reveal where it needed to go and how it was going to develop us. And they decided that they wanted to get together every 6 months, Grandmother Aggie said, so that each grandmother would host an event, a gathering, in her home place. In that way, they would come to learn about each other and make good relations and meet each other's land and their peoples and their culture and hear their language, the song of it all. Mm-hmm. And I was having a moment, I tell you, because it had taken us 2 years to raise the money. It's quite expensive to bring them from all over the world with their traveling companions. When they sit at the table, there's 7 translators translating simultaneously as we present ourselves and the work we've come to do. So it's quite something. And so every 6 months, and I could just hear this message and this mother inside of me say, just breathe, everything will unfold naturally. And so it has. We have now been to every grandmother's home place, with the exception of Gabon. We were on our way there, and there were some political things that happened that where we couldn't go there, but the prayer at that moment in time needed to go to the Vatican. We were 6 weeks out from going, so all the plane tickets had been bought. And we were guided by Grandmother Beatrice of our Lakota people to go to the Vatican and lay our prayers down there so that the papal bulls could be this letter that went out in the late 1400s across the globe that started the genocide of our First Nation people. This letter that said that our First Nation people were less than human and that if they wouldn't join in with the church and take up the language of the church, then they needed to be killed and their land taken. So that's what started the genocide of our people. So they wanted to go there and see if they could lay prayers that would rescind that order and start a new story that was not about oppressing people or disregarding or disrespecting people and the different cultures. And then we went from there to attend a large gathering in Spain and came back home. So this last November, we completed it with Grandmother Ama, who was from Nepal. She hosted us, and we had the vice president of the country come and open our gathering. And it was amazing. The people brought us into the streets and they garlanded grandmothers and they honored us in the most auspicious day. It was like the earth herself was celebrating with us. So now we've laid that prayer down, in a most auspicious way by each grandmother hosting these gatherings, lighting this prayer for world peace for 7 days and gathering the people out of each grandmother's prayer. Many ripples have come that would help that country, are that nation of peoples. And so now we're, the grandmothers are starting to dream, where does this prayer take us next? And their initiative is to take the teachings in and put them in the hands of our youth everywhere, because mm-hmm. that's how this way of life will be sustained.
Yes, they are the future.
That's right. That's right. So that's kind of what's happened. You know, it started the first official meeting in 2004, and now it's 2013, and we're still here, and we did make it around the planet, and so many stories and so many miracles and so many amazing people that we've met, so many alliances that have grown out of this initiative with many organizations around the world that are here trying to wake everybody up that
yes.
we don't have any more time. The time
yes.
is now.
And we have to make wise choices now. And because Mother Earth, we have to turn this around, the destruction of Mother Earth. We have to turn this around, and we have to end wars and things that cause damage not just to Mother Earth, but to the people and plants and animals of Earth. So,
that's right.
Oh, well, your story is so beautiful, and there were so many times that, as you're telling it, that I'm like, oh, I got chills when you told me about the lady that had been told by her grandmother when she was 9 years old that she was going to be part of this group, and actually at that time prepared the bundles and the eagle feathers for each person in the group. I mean, that had to have been, what, maybe 50 or 60 years ago. And this grandmother
longer
already knew.
She was 71 when she passed them out. She was 9 when she received them.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, that just gave me chills all over my body. It was just, I mean, that is so awesome. So this has been planned for a long time in the spirit world. And it's all coming to fruition now. And I'm so happy to hear this. Now, when you're talking about their next steps and you're talking about working with the youth, I applaud that, because I do believe that, as I said, that it's the future of the world is counting on the youth. It's going to be their world. But I also got a picture of the 13 grandmothers going to the Pentagon and presenting their prayers and their case there for world peace.
To the UN. They've been to the UN a couple of times, yes.
Mm-hmm. 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 Well, this is something, because the thing is, 99% of the people in the world want peace. It's the 1%, which is mostly governments and corporations and people that are profiting from some of the damage that's happening to the world. Those people don't want it to change. They're completely happy because they're getting everything they want, and apparently they don't care about the earth. And it's that 1% that we really need to target with our prayers, that their hearts open and that they begin to see the oneness of all things and to develop a reverence for Mother Earth and this beautiful world that we live in. It's our only home. We can't destroy it. You know, we absolutely have to honor it and cherish it and do everything we can to protect our resources instead of just gobbling them up and, you know, clear cutting forest and drilling and fracking and doing all these things to the earth that are damaging to the water systems and to so many ecologies around the world. So this is the time, and we have to target our prayers and our blessings and our hopes to those people that really need to change, that really need to have their hearts opened. Don't you
well,
think?
I think what's important for me anyway is that when I was first awakening, I was, you know, I really got and understood really in my body and my mind and my heart that the world, this plane that we live on, this plane of consciousness that we call Earth, our world, our reality, that there's just consciousness or unconsciousness. And when I'm unconscious, I hurt things without even realizing it. And so when I realized this, my whole path opened up for me, because I really became driven then by my inner wish to become a conscious being walking on this planet so that I wouldn't bring any harm to anyone else. And so all of my teachings and all of the work that I've been doing in the world and my community has been doing, and certainly what the grandmothers are doing, is trying to wake up consciousness in every individual rather than make it about them and us.
Oh,
where there's another large divide. It's really about everyone accepting a responsibility for our own awareness and waking up our consciousness so that we won't harm others and that we will make right decisions. So our prayers are about that. Our prayers are asking anyone that is out in our on the planet right now, that it's a time that we're shaking you awake out of a slumber that we've been in.
Yes.
We got lost many years ago. We got lost and we fell asleep. And now it's time to come out of that sleep, out of that unconscious kind of state that we found ourselves in as a global community, and start to help in kind ways to wake up those sitting next to us. Wake up our own selves first, and then turn around and wake up our family members, and then turn around and wake up our community members, and then reach out globally. And I think that most of the actions that you see happening with so many teleseminars, radio shows like yourself that are starting to make that gentle shake so that we can walk in union with each other and appreciate our differences rather than try to oppress difference or make one right and one wrong. You know, it's
And you're right. That's the whole reason I do this radio show, is to hopefully wake people up that, you know, I believe the world is hungry now. I believe people are hungry for truth, and they want to see the truth, and they want to feel alive, and they want to feel love in their hearts. And so, you know, this is the time for waking up. And that is, I'm so glad to hear that that's the goal of the 13 grandmothers, because that's what we all came here to do, I believe, is reawaken the people of Earth so that we can live in peace and harmony again, and in harmony with Mother Nature.
And I think that as this shift takes place, what all of the major leaders that I work with and spiritual teachers out there that are working globally, most of them are saying that what the shift is about is moving from a patriarchal, masculine-driven kind of culture and returning to our original culture, which sits in the lap of the feminine. And that doesn't mean men or women. That's about an energy that lives in every one of us, the masculine and the feminine energy that resides in each of us.
Mm-hmm.
So it's about passing the staff. I just went to a most amazing ceremony that Grandmother Flor de Mayo ran on December the 21st, which was quite an auspicious day. A lot of people were celebrating it all over the world. And the Mayans, the way they see that is that actually was the zero day. And so we arrived on the 20th, and we lit a fire, and we gathered around this fire to speak to the fire and to forgive ourselves for anything we might have done that we were carrying with us that no longer needed to be carried, and to forgive that and put it in the fire. So the first step in moving into our new era came through the state of consciousness of forgiveness. And then the next day, on the zero day, that's the day then that we were at the fire again, honoring the dawning of a new era that they said, I believe it's 6,500 years that the Mayans speak about, that we've entered this new era, that it's already arrived, that it's not something where aspiring to bring in, that it is here now. And we've started a new calendar of sorts. And so then on the 22nd, there had been a gathering in November around Thanksgiving time, and a lot of some of the Mayan leaders and teachers met with Flor de Mayo and other indigenous teachers and medicine peoples came together, and the men gathered first, and they created a staff of power that they've asked Grandmother Flor de Mayo to be the keeper of. And they made a ceremony to empower the women that were gathered there at that ceremony. It was the first time that she took this staff and opened the flower of wisdom in each of the women so they could be empowered to become leaders in their own communities. And then on our gathering on December the 22nd, we all brought a staff, and she again went around the circle and acknowledged and awakened the power of that staff for all of us women. And the men started the ceremony by talking about the new time we were in and how important it was for our men in the world to step into their new role of not defending us any longer, but standing in protection of life givers, because it was a time on the planet when that kind of leadership was really being called forth. The time of the Golden Age would be brought in by the women. And, you know, the Dalai Lama has recently said that same thing, that this era that we're in is a time for the feminine, and that he felt like that was going to be led by the women of the West. It may be part of how we can heal, because certainly things from the West have propelled great advances in technology and in science around the world, but it has also entered into other cultures, forging our and imposing our culture upon other cultures. And so if we follow the direction of the feminine follows a process instead of directing it. The feminine allows nature to guide our feet so that we don't get in the way of it. I'm in the process right now of catching a new vision that has to do with a new economic model that is driven by the feminine principles of collaboration and cooperation rather than competition. And it is going to be sitting on the foundation of the original principles, and it will be directed and guided by nature herself. So we have, in the visionary circle that's coming together around this mandate, we have our First Nation visionaries as well as other visionaries from our Western world, so we can learn how to weave these things together in what we're calling the fountain of possibility that will allow us to have sustainability in an economic model that doesn't just talk about money, but also talks about the economy of our physical bodies and our emotional bodies and our spiritual bodies, so that it really deals with the wholeness of ourselves. So I think that's also something that's really, you know, calling for us to allow. And I have two sons that are really have been brought up in these ways, and you know, they really take care of the earth, and they really listen to her, and they're involved in their children's upbringing, and they're men that have brought their feminine forward. And it's I'm so, you know, it's beautiful when the women bring our masculine selves forth, and we learn how to give form to something. And when we have that feminine that catches the vision, then we have all of what we need to walk in this, to walk forward, you know?
Yes. It feels like the return of the goddess to me. And I understand what you're saying, that each person, whether they're male or female, has the feminine in them. And I'm so glad to see it rising again. I think feminine women understand cycles of time better than men, and understand growth, growing things, growing plants, growing children, that growth involves a process that isn't instantaneous. It's something that you nurture along, and the cycles come and go, and everything moves in divine order. And this is something that we do need to bring into our business world, as well as our personal lives and planning for the future.
That's right, and there's a lot of businesses out there. You know, I just found out, I'm still learning myself, you know, but there's a lot of businesses that are calling themselves green businesses. So they're bringing in more of an awareness of how to do things in a better relationship with Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's another level of economists out there that are talking about the blue economy, which means that they're taking the principles of what our First Nation has living in them, the principles of how to walk, how to progress in life daily in a sacred way and with balance. They're bringing those into a lifestyle into business. And that's the next level of integration for that to transpire. The grandmothers will be going, we've been invited by Grandmother Lila of the Somi people, the reindeer people, out of Sweden, up in the high, cold country of Sweden. And we'll be going there in July, where Grandmother Lila will be hosting us there, as our grandmothers meet with the Somi people. And some of their intention is to meet with business leaders and to see how to integrate that more on a community level as well as a global level. And we'll be coming back to Stockholm, where they're hoping to have a day-long conference that's going to look specifically at the blue economy. So I'm excited about how some of these things are unfolding. But I think the most important part is the way my teachers taught me early on was they said, Jyoti, don't get ahead of your medicine, and you are your medicine. So if we stay behind our medicine, if we stay behind that self that knows, that's connected to the nature of all things, then we'll follow it one step at a time, which has been part of the major teaching for all of us that have been involved as the Grandmothers Council formed itself and then went around the world. Because with each and every gathering, we went into a very different culture. We went into many places where the language is very different and a way of life was very different. Mm-hmm. We tried to enter each of those cultures in a way of respect so we could really sit and listen and learn and make relations and let it show us what needed to be presented. And so the grandmother would catch the vision of how the program would come together, and then the leaders of that nation would hear about it, and very naturally and organically it would gather itself, as well as the resourcing for it, because it cost about $250,000 every time we had a gathering.
Oh my goodness.
So we had to have a lot of trust and faith. And this new way of walking is not about reaching for things. It's not about grabbing and making acquisition of things. It's not about that. It's about allowing. It's about trust. It's about regard and respect. And it's about how things flow and following the nature of it. So if we run ahead of the medicine, if we run ahead of ourselves, then our ego gets involved, and we don't even realize that we're stepping on things.
Mm-hmm.
So the big practice right now is stay with yourself, and listen to those promptings that are coming, because we're all receiving them right now. Trust those promptings. And even if it doesn't make any sense and you think, oh my goodness, there's no way that this could ever happen, that I could ever do this, trust yourself in that and deepen that connection you have with spirit. I remember one time when we were on our way to India, Grandmother Sering, who is Tibetan, she was hosting us there. We were going to be meeting the Dalai Lama and have a private audience with him. And we were about 2 months, 6 weeks out, and I still needed $80,000 to make sure we would all get there and everything would be taken care of the way it needed. So, of course, I was waking up in the morning, and it was, you know, I was just shaking in my boots, and I could feel there was the little devil on one side of me that was going, you know, my little self going, if you don't get this to happen, if you don't raise this money, it'll be your fault. The grandmothers don't meet with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama.
Oh.
The other shoulder I would hear, just breathe. And then a friend of mine said, Jyoti, there's a mantra waiting for you. So I sat down and I caught this mantra, and it had me every morning get up and put on my spiritual shoes. And as I put my spiritual shoes on every day, I would say this mantra: I am the Divine Mother. She lives in me, and everything she needs comes to me easily. And so I began just saying that mantra all day long. And when that other voice, that was a negative voice that was telling me how it wasn't going to happen and was making all the things that would go wrong, I would just say my mantra in its place. I didn't need to make that a bad voice. I just needed to replace that energy with a different kind of focus and voice.
I like that. What is the mantra again? I want to write it down.
I am the Divine Mother. She lives in me, and everything she needs comes to me easily. I am the Divine Mother. She lives in me, and everything she needs comes to me easily. And so if your listeners, I've said it three times now, which is how I've been instructed to pass a mantra. So now all of you may use it, and I hope that you will find it helpful to you.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's wonderful. And I will use it. And I like what you say about putting on your spiritual shoes to walk in that day. That's a great ritual to do every morning, putting on your spiritual shoes and saying the mantra. I love that.
Another way that you can accentuate that, that was passed on to me years ago, too, was every morning, you know, some people, they're not sure about their spiritual practice or what it is. And so I say, well, just start simple. You know, put on your shoes and then go out before you do anything else and greet the sun with a glass of water. And just take that water and say a prayer to that first light of day, that sun that's rising to give you a new day of life, and appreciate it. Give it thanks. The water's listening. The water's Grandma, I always saying, the water's listening. Are you talking to it? And then when you finish prayer, you just pour four times a little bit of water, four times, one, two, three, four, onto the earth herself, because she drinks first, and then you take those four drinks for yourself. And I have whole families that go and meet the day this way, and their children.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mom and dad, everybody meets the day this way. It becomes a way of life, everybody. And that way you start your day in a way that's more conscious, and you're honoring the sacred in yourself, the water, and in the earth herself, and all the air, all the elements are brought in to that very simple prayer.
That's wonderful. Now, I do greet the day every day with a prayer to Father, Son, and Mother Earth, and similar to the opening prayer of my show. But I haven't used the water that way. I do talk to the water when I'm taking my shower. I sing to the water, healing water, loving me, loving you. And just, you know, you're part of me. I thank you. I love you. Bless you. You know, I sing to the water the whole time I take my shower. And whenever I use water or drink water, you know, I'm always blessing that. I'm very aware that we are so connected with water, because after all, we are 75% water in our bodies. And it's so important that we cherish water and bless it and protect it, because we cannot live without it. And that's beautiful. I love it to combine the water along with the blessings from the sun and the earth first thing in the morning. That's great. Thank you.
You bet. You know, it's Grandma Agnes and the grandmothers, all of them right now, they're really talking to us about the water. Grandma Agnes, Baker Pilgrim, who's our eldest on the council, she's almost 89 now. And she's an amazing person, and her water is what she's here for, amongst other things, but that's a big, big focus for her. And she lives over in Oregon, and she's of the Tsleil tribe. And she had an old ceremony that had almost been lost by her people that she brought back, and now it's 17 years she's been running it. It's a salmon ceremony. And when she started it, there were four dams on her river, and the salmon were dying. They were becoming extinct.
Yes.
In the river. And
yes, they were blocked.
Now, after 17 years, the last and fourth dam went down. It's a free-flowing river, and the salmon are back.
Oh, wonderful. So
one of the things that we've learned along this trail is not only is it important for our initiatives, but having sacred ways of prayer that have been given by the earth herself are what she's hungry for. And so a lot of some of the initiatives that we are also working on right now is how to get the sacred sites that our First Nation, our guardians do, back in their hands so these ceremonies can take place the way the earth has instructed her people. Because once that happens, a whole nother level of something is going to be revealed through her. So this is also, you know, another way of forging initiatives.
Yes, that's beautiful. And, you know, I think as we continue to do what you and the 13 grandmothers are doing and all of us and like my show and everything, as we continue to wake people up and help them to realize that everything is alive and is a sentient being, trees, animals, plants, the water, everything is alive. I think one of the problems in the Western world anyway is that people tend to view plants and animals as objects rather than as living beings. They don't, I know I grew up in the South and in a culture that didn't believe a dog had a soul or an animal had a soul or a tree had a soul. So they were just objects and you just used them. And it didn't matter if you hurt them because they didn't have souls anyway. And it was horrible. I couldn't understand it when I was a child. And I've spent my whole life trying to remind people that they are alive. Anything that is alive is alive like you and me. It's not an object that we can just cut down and use or just kill and use. If you look at an animal, look into its eyes and see it responding to you with its eyes, how can you say that it doesn't have a spirit, you know? And as we begin to wake people up and they realize that everything around them is alive and to be honored and cherished and respected and everything, that's when we will really see the changes start to happen in the way companies do business and the way people live their personal lives, everything. Once you realize it, it's all alive and we're all part of this glorious world of life. You cannot continue to act in certain ways.
And that comes back to that statement I made earlier about conscious and unconscious, you know. And so a lot of our work at the Center for Sacred Studies and in my community of Kayamari, we've been really graced because the mother has given us tools to help us cultivate consciousness. That's what you were mentioning before with the Maya Tree breath work. And also we have a school that's called Stargate, where people can come and go through. There's some cognitive teaching in these ways, but mostly it's about creating a container where the divine is present, and then you can connect in with that presence in yourself and bring your presence forward, healing wounds that have blocked that flow before. And so if anybody's interested in any of that, I hope it's okay if I mention the sacredstudies.org. Because you can go online and check it out. Check out some of the things that she's given us as tools. And when I started the Stargate School, I thought it was only going to be for a year, and it's almost 20 years old now.
Oh.
And it's ministered to people from all over the world, and it's mostly a word of mouth kind of thing. So I thought it was going to go to sleep, and it was complete with its mission several times, but the people wanted it to stay. And Maya Tree is a healing prayer circle where we activate through non-ordinary states by using your breath and by using music and by using aromatherapy through our herbs to bring people into the circle and so they can connect with that inner action and activity of the soul, which will help them remember themselves.
Yes. Yoti, we are running out of time. People can reach you at sacredstudies.com or .org.
.org. And
correct?
If they want to know more about the grandmothers and the events that are coming up, they can go to grandmotherscouncil.org.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much for being with us today. I hope sometime you'll be able to come back. You have so much to share, and it's all beautiful. So thank you again. And for all my listeners, join me at this time next week. We'll have something wonderful for you. Until then, may the sun kiss your face, may the waters bless your body, and may all nature sing in your presence.